Australia gets a chief nurse. Nursing students in Texas look at health issues. Pediatric nursing conference, it's on the way. And a Nova Scotia community calls for a nurse practitioner to keep their emergency department open. All that plus a look at hypothyroidism. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to The Nursing Show, episode 14. I'm Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to welcome all of you back to another episode here. If you've been a subscriber for a while, I want to thank you for coming back and staying subscribed to the show. And if you're a brand new listener here at The Nursing Show, I want to remind you that you can head over to nursingshow.com and check out all of the links to everything I talk about here on the show. Everything over there is linked back to some site that I would like to consider authoritative in some ways, and gives you additional resources to follow up on the limited information I'm able to provide here in this venue. All that's available at nursingshow.com. If you have any comments or questions, would like to get in touch with me, make sure you send me those comments here at comments@nursingshow.com. I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a suggestion for a future show topic. Maybe you've got a correction, something that I made a mistake on here on the show. All of that's important. We want to make sure this is a community effort. So I want to thank you all for staying in touch and keep the emails coming in. Speaking of email, I had a great opportunity last night to have a talk with one of the listeners who is a burn nurse in Australia. Listener Tim was gracious enough to agree to be interviewed and talk a little bit about some of the issues facing nurses in Australia, as well as sharing some of his experiences as a burn nurse in that country. And Tim, I know you're listening. I just want to thank you very much for taking the time to do that. And we'll have that interview posted up here in just a few weeks as one of the extra episodes that'll be provided here on The Nursing Show. If you'd like to share some of your experiences with others here at The Nursing Show, maybe you have some topic in nursing you're passionate about. Maybe you'd like to share some of the decisions and things you've learned throughout the course of your career. Feel free to do so. Send me an email at comments@nursingshow.com and let me know you'd like to be interviewed and what topic you'd like to cover. I'd be happy to set something up. My schedule's very flexible, so we can try to arrange something over the phone, and I'll call in and we can go ahead and do a short interview. Share those experiences with the other listeners to The Nursing Show. We have a lot of nursing students listening to the show, as well as nurses at various stages in their careers. And it's always important to keep our eyes open to what else is going on out in the field of nursing. As I move on into the news for today's episode, I am kind of chuckling to myself. I spent a good deal of time talking with our listener friend Tim in Australia last night. And this morning, one of the big stories that popped up on my news radar for nursing was that Australia's government is following through on a campaign promise to appoint a chief nursing and midwifery officer in the government's cabinet as a chief advisor to the cabinet level positions there, to ministers there in the government. And I think this is amazingly proactive for any government. We know that nursing really focuses on so many different aspects of a person's health and their health across the course of their life that maybe other health-related positions don't really deal with or focus on quite as strongly. And I think it's important that nurses are able to bring those issues into the forefront and deal with so many of the things we do, which we do so much to do preventative medicine. We do so much to do health maintenance before a patient is dealing with illness. And I think it's so important to see that this type of position is moving into the forefront as part of health policy in a major country. So hopefully the rest of the world can take some of lessons from this approach and appoint some strong nurses in high-level positions to help advise on health policy in their governments. Moving along, I found another great story looking at a group of nursing students from South Dakota, specifically from the South Dakota State University's College of Nursing, where they traveled down to Texas and worked in a health clinic for poverty-stricken Texas community members in this area, dealing with a lot of different issues in this community. And it really helped to expose these students to different health issues than they might have seen in their own local communities or have grown up with. And I think this is an important point to make, whether you're a nursing student or a nurse for the last 30 years. It's important for all of us to make sure that periodically we extend our horizons, that we step outside of our comfort zones and remind ourselves of some of the challenges and issues that are faced by the patients we see from day to day, because we may be able to better identify key issues to focus on when we're dealing with these patients because we are able to do that. So this is a good reminder for all of us to step outside our comfort zones a little bit and look at issues from another angle. I found another interesting story, this one from Canada, about a community in Nova Scotia that was trying to take steps to keep their local hospital ER open 7 days a week. Currently, it is not because of the inability to keep physicians available and on call at all times in that facility. And so this hospital basically closes down their emergency department. Well, the community, at least some members of the community, would like the local health authority to hire a nurse practitioner in an effort to at least keep some services available to the community by keeping the doors open at other times when a physician is not available to staff that particular location. And, you know, this is an interesting approach. It's something I think that we need to be looking at more and more frequently as we run into issues of providing healthcare in the community. Initially now, at least according to this article, that hospital and the staffing authority for that hospital have not taken too well to this suggestion and have gone ahead and said that there is no substitute for having a physician there. But I would argue that having it closed is quite a drastic change from having no physician. I think that having a nurse practitioner in place, even with the limitations that are placed on nurse practitioners, would provide a better health service to that community than not having anybody man that particular facility. Finally, I saw a notice come across my email that the Pediatric Nursing Conference will be holding their annual meeting in Las Vegas on June 26th through 28th in 2008, and I wondered if anybody out there listening to the show might be attending. I would love, for any kind of conference, nursing conference that you attend, I would love to get a report on some of your impressions, maybe a 10 or 15 minute interview segment to talk about some of the things that were key issues or some of the breakout sessions that made an impression on you. And so if you're attending any conference, whether it's the Pediatric Nursing Conference coming up or some other conference that you are planning to look at in your specialty, I would really enjoy hearing from you so that we can share some of the conference impressions with our listeners here and thereby helping everybody get a broader view and some more education on some of the key issues and key advances going on in different nursing specialties. It's time now to look at the tip and trick of the week for the week, and this week I'm going to be looking at hypothyroidism. We'll do something on hyperthyroidism in a future episode, but I think this is one of those disorders that people come in and deal with, whether it's an acute onset problem that is going to be alleviated rapidly, or if they have a chronic issue or an ongoing pathophysiology that is going to deal with this being a long-term problem, then we still need to be able to understand what's going on. And because so many things can be affecting the production of the hormones produced by the thyroid gland, I think it's important for us to kind of take a look at these type of things from time to time. Just a quick review of anatomy and physiology. The thyroid gland is found in the lower portion of the neck, just anterior to the trachea. It can be palpated, especially when it may be swollen for some reason or due to a disease process. The thyroid gland, while it produces three different hormones, two of those hormones act together to be the thyroid hormone. And then the other hormone is calcitonin. The first two hormones, T3 and T4, thyroxin is T4, and triiodothyronine is T3. And that refers to the number of iodine molecules bound to the particular amino acids that form these hormones. So what do these hormones do? What is the effect of these hormones? T3 and T4 work by affecting and increasing cellular metabolic rates. T4 is not quite as strong as T3, but they both are present. And if you were testing for a deficiency of them, you would be testing for T3 or T4. You might see that in your lab tests, as well as other serum testing for thyroid hormone. And so since this affects an increase in metabolism, a decreased level of these hormones would lead someone to be sluggish, lethargic, without a lot of energy, perhaps experiencing some weight gain, and this could be an indication that they have decreased levels of T3 or T4, also known to collectively as thyroid hormone. The release of thyroid hormone into the blood is itself stimulated by thyroid-stimulating hormone coming out of the anterior pituitary gland. And so we need to look at other causes when there is a problem with thyroid hormone, as well as problems in the thyroid itself, because these problems could be caused by a decreased level of TSH being secreted by the anterior pituitary, as well as other issues that would affect release of hormones from the pituitary gland. Calcitonin, as I said earlier, is the other hormone released from the thyroid gland. Calcitonin acts on removing excess calcium from the blood and depositing it in the mineral stores of the bone, and works in opposition to parathyroid hormone, which, of course, takes those mineral stores, that calcium, back out of the bone and redeposits it in the bloodstream. These two hormones work in opposition to each other, and anything that affects one may cause a side effect or an increased effect of the other to be evident in the body. So hypothyroidism, a decreased production from the thyroid, can be caused by several different things. Most hypothyroidism is considered primary in cause, primary hypothyroidism actually originating from a problem with the thyroid gland itself. And that is occurring probably most of the time, 90 to 95% of the time, depending on the literature that you might look at. Also, we look at other forms of hypothyroidism, including secondary hypothyroidism related to the pituitary gland and release of TSH, as I said earlier. If the effect were actually traced back to the hypothalamus and its stimulating effect on the pituitary gland, it might be called tertiary hypothyroidism related to that third level of removed effect causing the problem. Many patients with primary hypothyroidism develop it as a result of an autoimmune response issue, the body attacking its own thyroid gland, and these patients develop hypothyroidism. This is also in some cases known as Hashimoto's disease. Also, another common cause of hypothyroidism is actually the response to treatment for hyperthyroidism. And this is because treatments that are attempting to slow down production of the thyroid can actually cause it to shift far enough in the other direction, or cause enough damage to the thyroid that they actually end up having hypothyroidism. It's also important to watch those patients that are being treated for cancers of the neck and head, because that radiation treatment that they might be receiving can also cause damage to the thyroid in that same region and actually cause them to develop hypothyroidism as a result of a side effect of that treatment. Also, some medications will alter thyroid function, and there's a long list of medications that do this. So if you run across a patient where their thyroid levels are off, or if they are exhibiting signs of hypothyroidism, you may want to look at meds that they are currently taking. Some of the common culprits sometimes can be lithium, also some corticosteroids, opioid analgesics, as well as some x-ray contrast dyes, because they do contain iodine. Any medication that has iodine in it may actually bind additional iodine and cause a problem with the iodine needed to produce adequate amounts of the hormones. When looking at patients that might be experiencing hypothyroidism, it's important to recognize that women are much more likely to have hypothyroidism, as much as 4 or 5 times as likely as men, and it's important to know this. Anything that might cause a sudden shift in a level of energy, people become extremely tired. Early signs also include sometimes brittle hair or fingernails, as well as in women, changes in their menses. As the problem progresses, patients may begin to complain of other problems, including being cold all the time. They may have unexplained weight gain despite having no significant change in their diet. They may also experience some thickening of the subcutaneous layer of the skin, as some cell metabolites are not fully metabolized and begin to build up as a thickening of the skin. Eventually, patients may actually develop dementia-like symptoms where their thought process begins to slow down, their speech may become slurred, they may not be able to respond appropriately to simple questions, and experience altered mental status as a result of decreased cellular metabolism. Because of this, patients who are unrecognized or have undiagnosed hypothyroidism are actually at increased risk of complications when being treated for other problems. So it's important to get a good look at the blood work and monitor these things. Patients may be developing hypothyroidism and cause them to be at greater risk for problems like hypotension, problems healing following surgeries. All kinds of issues can crop up as a result of this. And the thing is, it's simple enough to fix hypothyroidism because we do have synthetic versions of the thyroid hormones out there and can provide that as a supplement to the patient. It is important to monitor patients when receiving the hormone replacement therapy because as they regain normal levels of thyroid hormone in their serum, they will actually develop other issues as the body's cells begin to return to normal. The body, of course, has a great ability to adapt to adverse conditions. However, when we shift that back, especially rapidly, we can see actually that the patient bounces back too quickly. So you can see sometimes cardiac irritability as the heart cells, the myocardium, begins to react to having ability to metabolize more efficiently. They can become hyperexcitable, and you may see cardiac arrhythmias develop as a result of administering hormone replacement therapy. Additionally, patients who are experiencing problems with decreased levels of thyroid hormones are going to be tired and listless and not really wanting to be active. And this can cause issues in recovery in the hospital because they put themselves at greater risk for issues like DVT and developing other problems because of their immobility. So it's important to keep them moving. It's important to encourage them to be active as much as possible so that they can keep themselves moving around, keep the blood shifting, keep their muscles engaged so that they don't sit around to the point that they throw off a clot and, you know, develop a PE or a stroke. As they're being treated, you want to monitor vital signs. You want to go ahead and make sure that you are checking their mental status quite frequently. Really keep an eye out for changes that may be indicative of a decreased thyroid and causing problems with mental status and mental function. So all of these things can be warning signs that the treatment is not working appropriately. Also, you need to prepare the family and the patient themselves for the fact that they may be more irritable, may experience emotional changes as a result of having hypothyroidism, especially in the early stages of treatment as the levels are adjusted and finding the right dosage for that patient. It's always important to remind them that they're going to be cold, they don't have as high of a metabolism, so they're going to be a little chilly, and to keep a sweater with them, keep a blanket handy. Those little things, those little tricks that can enhance their comfort level can go a long way toward helping them with their recovery and helping them manage and get back into a normal routine. And that's always important. Sometimes it's just a question of teaching somebody some of the little things that can make their life a little easier and a little more comfortable go a long way towards helping them return to a stable level of health. So that's a quick look at hypothyroidism. And as I said, we'll look at its counterpart, hyperthyroidism, in a future episode. But I wanted to kind of address this particular issue now. We'll get to the other one later on. So that's going to wrap up another episode here of The Nursing Show. I want to thank everybody for checking out the show. Remember, you can head over to nursingshow.com, pick up the links for the show notes, and I always try to provide you some additional resources there so that you can head over and find out some more information for yourself. If you want to get back in touch with me, leave a comment or perhaps even a correction if I made a mistake. You want to get a hold of me by email at comments@nursingshow.com. You can also reach me on the Skype line at Podmedic. That's my ID over at Skype, and I'll be happy to get back to you directly there as well. You can leave a voicemail message. I'll close out the show as I always do with some great PodSafe music from an artist by the name of Cody Prevost. A little country tune for you called Spin off of his new release. And if you like what you hear, check out his link in the show notes and let him know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. I'll wrap up as I always do by saying I'm Jamie Davis, the PodMedic, reminding all of you to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
Everyone in town would start their day. Grab a nice cold drink at the pump and pay our weekend spend down at the lake. But something started telling me it's time to disappear. So one day I made the ties on my old Cavalier. Spinning down the highway, pedal down Chevrolet. Nothing standing in my way. Mama's home cooking and to see old friends. Grab a cup of coffee and catch up on the news. I can see nothing's changed in a minute or two. I start getting restless when I'm standing still. When the light turns green, I make those wheels. Down.